biggest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. The Bankroll Boys are going to be in coming up at, what is that there, 7:20? Lifshatz and Murray. Big horse race this weekend. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals all going on. A lot of movement, a lot of Bitcoin being passed around.
You think they bet on the French Open? I'm just wondering. They bet on everything else.
If they do, it's the greatest thing ever.
Just, we got to ask them about tennis when they get here.
Oh, absolutely.
We're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Is the U.S. Open golf tournament this weekend?
Next weekend.
Father's Day weekend.
Shinnecock Hills, correct?
Yeah.
Now we can ask them about that.
Yep.
I mean, there's going to be a lot to be learned.
You know, I have a column posting soon on the Sports Hub website, my new golf column I've been running this season, about the folly of betting anything in the majors lately. Do you know, out of the last 11 major championships, how many different winners there have been?
40.
That's right.
You walked right
it's
into it.
It's a mathematical anomaly, yeah. And I discussed it in my column this week. I urge you all to read.
You're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. We're all winners.
All right.
11.
So something has been going on in the streets that I find fascinating, and it's all over the world. And I referenced streaking before. You know, there was the CBs in the 70s. And this has become the new pet rock.
Who was the parody song stylist? Was it Ray Stevens?
Ray Stevens
with the streak.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. He did the streak. People would run around naked.
Oh, they loved it. My parents made me streak in front of company one time as a goof.
Oh, that's fun. Huh. Yeah. What are you, 14?
Damn it. That was my line.
Yeah, well, I'm always here to tag it then.
15.
All right, you tagged it. Good. All right, so here we go. This has been happening a lot, Hardy, and here's clips we played in the past.
First, the man who lives in that home thought maybe it was a homeless person, maybe it was a one-time accident.
A young woman on her morning run. She makes a turn, jogging towards this alley. Then a security camera catches this.
Drops her pants and lets go. Puts her shorts back up without any wipe, nothing else. This is malicious fecal distribution. She's come back multiple times.
At least four times, Bobby says. He has no idea who she is and why his home has become her personal toilet.
This is calculated. Look, I'm dropping my pants as I'm running.
All right, so that was very calculated. Very cunning.
Well, he's very clever, and he's having some fun with it, Fred.
Well, that's
malicious fecal distribution. He's a wordsmith.
I mean, maybe it's not the worst thing he feels in the world that it could be happening. Young lady running across the field.
Does he not seem maybe upset enough and seems to be having a little too much fun with it? Like, yeah, this is awful. If this happens again tomorrow, I don't know what I'll do, but I'm going to stay home from work just in case.
Yeah, I'm going to get a video camera. And Hardy, not only did it happen there, it happened to another place as well.
We call her the Mad Paper Pine Creek. And it's not like it's private. People can see you. I mean, we're seeing her. So.
Pants around ankles in broad daylight. Her kids saw it happen first.
They came screaming, you know, you're not going to believe this. They're like crying. It's like, what? And they're like, there's a lady taking a poop. And so I come outside. It's like, oh, dear goodness. And so I was like, are you serious? Are you really taking a poop right here in front of my kids? And she's like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of remorse when it comes to the public fecal matter. And now there is a picture of a man in the act. The alleged pooper in question is Brisbane resident Andrew Douglas McIntosh, who is a national quality manager at a big-time Australian retirement village company and also a member of the Brisbane City Council. Neighbors in his Green Slopes neighborhood recently noticed a flurry of public poops on sidewalks and other street-adjacent areas near their homes. One resident, Steve Smith, says his place was getting hit frequently, and it seemed that the regularity of the poops as well as the presence of toilet paper indicated a high likelihood of premeditation. So he did what any of us would have done and hatched a complicated plan to catch the mad pooper copying his tracks. Smith eventually figured out McIntosh's running route, presumably by tacking up and studying a map of poops, you know, with the string involved and everything like they did for the Zodiac Killer. Like, all right, if he's over here, and then he took the newspaper out and highlighted the first letters, and it's spelled out, I'm going to the bathroom.
Right, it's John Nash. He's got his shed turned into this big maze of strings.
All these lines.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he's smoking cigarettes to the butt.
That's right. Pages from Look magazine torn out.
All these brown lines all over the map.
Right, well, yeah. That's ultimately what they're looking for.
Sure.
And favorite times for the jog, and after he followed him a few times, waiting in the nearby bushes with the camera, he finally caught him in the act, toilet paper in hand. McIntosh seems to have taken his blown cover in stride. Mr. Smith, the man who caught him, said he expected to be met with abuse, but instead the man gave a friendly hello before continuing on his way. It was very strange. He's strewn approximately 30 turds around the neighborhood, and judging from Smith's photo, which is him just looking like, hey, how do you do? Like, he's not, like, he doesn't look like a deer in headlights.
I thought this was a goof photo. Like, they pulled this from some other place.
No, if you click on the link at the bottom, you can see what he's made.
It's photo by Steve Smith. And what a sad end to the former Michigan State basketball player and Miami Heat star, Steve Smith, who's apparently now living in Australia.
The way I think about it is, you know, they catch him, and I thought he'd show some remorse. And the way you're describing it, I imagine like a Rick Riley shrug of the shoulders with the palms. So,
yeah, he's sitting there and he's crouched over.
Right.
He's got his elbows on his knees and he's got toilet paper in his hand. And he's looking at the guy like, my bad.
Okay,
he just said hi.
Those are the breaks.
So there obviously is a fetish, because I know when you go running long distances that you can crap yourself, as is the case in the Boston Marathon.
We've seen that numerous times. Winners and others alike, yes. Okay.
But they've caught people that work at schools going to the bathroom on the football field. I wonder if this, well, I'm not getting any calls on this, but 617-779-0985.
You can't be sure of that. There might be someone out there.
I'm wondering, like, what the significance of this is. Because, you know, I kick around the internet from time to time, and I don't see any sites dedicated to going to the bathroom on people's lawns.
Oh, I'm sure they're out there.
But are they in English? Is the problem?
And, well, number one, when is Australia
going? Number two.
Hey,
why not?
When is Australia finally going to shed its former prison colony label? Now, Dan O'Brien has been there. Is it just complete lawlessness? Is it just an episode of Oz? Are people just running around doing whatever they want? Yeah. Former prison colony, that's number one. Number two, when you do click on the full photo, which Fred Toucher has recommended you do, and take a look at the full screen, you will see not only the deposit, but you'll see a nice product placement for a local shoe company. And they've got to be very proud.
Yeah, New Balance.
This man has chosen
the choice of public...
New Balance, what are those, 808s?
Well, and then also, not the healthiest of movements.
No.
The man just had.
No.
Perhaps Arby's before the run.
Vegemite. Maybe it runs through the system.
All right. Rock and roll, Mike. Hello.
What's going on, guys? What's up, Where's Rock? What's up?
What's up?
What's going on? Hey, Kiss Tour Europe 2018 is going on. Hey, Ace Frehley, going to Berkeley, California, August 6th. I'm going.
Oh, you're seeing Ace Frehley? What's your favorite Frehley's Comet song?
My favorite Ace Frehley song is called Your Life Is All I Need, My Satisfaction Grows. Oh, yeah. You make me feel at ease. Even make me glow. Oh, yeah. 98.4 subs rocks. Don't cut the power on me. No, no. Keep it in. Let's go straight. Keep me high. Shock me. Make me feel better. Bang, 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 bang. Shock me. Put on your black leather. Oh, yeah. Come out. Hey, what's up with Donald Trump? Hey, what's up with... What's up with Stormy Daniels? Listen, I'm running for president 2020, Rock and Roll Mike. What's going on?
Nothing, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you for the version of Shock Me.
Are you at work already?
I'm hanging out.
Oh, okay. All right. It's just I didn't want you to disturb the other people in the office.
Yeah, I mean, that cubicle can't keep out all the sound. All right, rock and roll.
What are you doing?
All right, rock and roll, Mike. It seems you run out of a little steam.
So he's running for president. I heard that someone cut the power to his apartment in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, I've heard of a street lamp
that he sleeps under, one or the other.
I heard him announce his presidential bid on an earlier episode of Toucher and Rich, but this seemed more like performance art, almost like he was getting into a bit of a routine. He was going to do a political, you know, it's Seinfeldian, what's up with Donald Trump
and then it
Stormy
came,
Daniels?
Kind of came apart at the end there.
He's workshopping the bit.
All right.
You see him at Giggles tonight with a legal pad, and he's going over his notes.
Well,
he's
trying to get like Garofalo when she used to sit up on the stool with the pad saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm workshopping some of this stuff.
Yeah. Let me know what you think.
You know, I came to the store today just to work out some material. I'm in the small room. So let's get down to business.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
Five, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
.985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Obviously, you all know the story of Donald Trump being flabbergasted and saying that the Philadelphia Eagles, that only Nick Foles was scheduled to come to the big ceremony. He said that now you're not allowed in, you're traitors, maybe you should move from the United States. And there was, instead, he did a big patriotic event where he didn't know the words to God Bless America, which is pretty funny, because you would figure that maybe in the, you know, 24 hours you had to get that together, and you knew they were playing God Bless America, you would sort of get it together and learn those words, but the irony of that is pretty much lost on a lot of people. He had a choir of military men, and they sang songs, and not a whole lot of people were there, but nonetheless.
Well, that's the biggest shame of it, because you could tell it was a really well-planned event.
Yeah.
We're going to get the Marine Corps band out here. We're going to get the, you know, the military. And those guys can sing. Did you see the guy who sang the anthem last night, by the way, at the Cavaliers game?
Yep.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. So these guys can really sing and belt it out. So they had that. They had cameras. A lot of planning went into
this.
You
had Donald Trump standing in front of them for unknown reason.
Right. And you know that was the plan. It's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring the band in. We're going to sing God Bless America. And we're going to have all the reporters there. And it's going to be phenomenal.
Like
that was the plan.
I'm going to stand right in front of them like I'm the super leader. And we're going to get it together. What a disappointing event.
I still said it would have been better if they had used pyro and he would have been like, they used a harness and like get him to fly up to the top of the White House after it was over.
But pyro would not be out of the question. They should have lit off fireworks. Yeah. At least it would have given a little oomph. Well, Malcolm Jenkins is one of the most outspoken of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been very critical of the Trump administration and talking about how they're not going to the White House. So yesterday, he made signs. It started with "you aren't listening," and then he gave out statistics of what's happening to black people in terms of the incarceration rate. You can't stop looking at that poo guy.
Well, he's just...
He's just like, hey.
He's so unapologetic.
Yeah, he's great.
He's actually got a look on his face like, do you mind?
Or no, he's got a look at his face like, oochie, throw me in the briar patch. You caught me.
Okay. So anyway, it's distracting all of us. I'll get it off the screen.
Right.
Oh, there's the full shot again.
Yeah.
Malcolm, I can't get rid of
it. Well, it's poo. Malcolm Jenkins, have you ever been in a, you have kids, have you been in one of them, what do you get, crappers? The outhouses? Have you been in one of those recently?
Oh, you mean like a porta potty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, by me, and we were playing on the other side of Newton. They just call them outhouses. Someone's
right.
Backyard.
Sure.
They have
the
a
big
moon.
Big moon. That's right. Door. The Sears and Roebuck catalog on the inside for your wiping purposes.
Yep. Or maybe I just wipe my butt with the fish wrap that's passing itself off as news today. So, anyway, so Malcolm Jenkins brought in these signs, and they had statistics about incarceration of black people, talking about guys in the Patriots, talking about Devin McCourty and how he had raised money for... I can't really see the signs right now, but he was praising other players in the NFL for the charitable contributions they made. But the weirdest part of it was the Philadelphia media not getting at all what he was doing and getting like a little aggravated with him. Like, you know, roll with it. This, you know, this is going to be good for you. This is going to be good for your column, for your television show. This is going to get a lot of talk, and you were there, but they can't wrap their head around what he's doing. And they're such pricks. It's Philadelphia through and through. Here is a portion of what went on. Now, they're around his locker, remember. Oh, God. They got me all jammed up.
Oh. Now your special little board isn't working?
No.
No.
My special board's not working.
The Fred Toucher Diva control hub is ineffective.
You had a thing on this the last time you were in here about how Fred really doesn't need this and he's being a diva by using it. And
all right. Well, I'll take a phone call from Bob. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I love the fact that Donald Trump, people forget he had 5 deferments when the Vietnam War was going on. His rich daddy got him out of serving in the military. He didn't even serve in the National Guard. At least George W. Bush did a couple of years in the National Guard. And he's no different than Johnny Gomes and all these idiots who never served in the military but pretend that they did.
Yeah. That if I wave a flag around, that makes me the ultimate patriot. And someone on email made a great point to me. Let's review the CFL footage or USFL footage of when he owned the Generals and go through every national anthem and see if he was standing up. Because I guarantee you he wasn't. I mean, obviously, anyone in the world knows that if you're cynical enough to think that Trump really gives a rat's ass about who's in the locker room and who's... He got a pop when he got mad at the players, and then the owners rolled over and let him do whatever he wanted to do.
And gave him an excuse to beat the drum again and use the NFL as a punching bag again.
All right, so due to my know-how, I got this working in Vox Pro, Hardy, against your theories on me. And here is just, listen, because Malcolm Jenkins is not speaking, obviously. He's holding up signs. It's obvious what he's doing. He's, instead of talking, he just wants to show you the statistics. He wants to show you why, you know, they didn't want to go to the White House. And here it is.
Are you not going to say anything today or just going to use these posters?
Yeah, dumbass. He's got 20 posters in front of him. You idiot.
And one of the first ones said... You aren't listening.
Right. But that's what are you just going to use said. Posters today? No. He just, the rest of them are blank, and they say, why don't you just color it or sign it for my yearbook?
Yeah. He holds up the first poster that says, more than 60% of people in prison are people of color. Then the reporter asks, are you not going to say anything today? He throws that poster inside. I'm just joshing you. I don't care about any of this stuff. Yeah. Let's talk about the first day of mini camp.
Yeah. All right. So he continues.
Could you hold it up again? We couldn't see it.
What are we listening to?
Could you hold it higher, please?
Could you hold it higher so we can see it?
What does it have to do with not going to the White House yesterday?
Oh, I don't know, you stupid idiot. The facts that he's giving you... He's explaining, what does that have to do with not going to the White House yesterday? Obviously, he feels that there's injustices, and he's telling you what the injustices are. I mean, how dense, like, they're getting pissed. Like, why won't you talk? Don't you realize that this is 1,000 times better than him talking for your purposes? Are you going to talk today? No.
So you're spreading this message. This is the message you want us to be listening to.
No. This is a plot line to Leave It to Beaver. No, this is not something I want you to listen to. What an idiotic, what are you trying to trick him into speaking?
Yeah, I remember that episode, the episode where Lumpy Rutherford sits in jail because they haven't ended cash bail yet, and he was too poor to grant himself release.
Right.
No, no, it's
Lumpy
yes.
Rutherford's dead, bit of a loser.
Fred? Wasn't he Ward's boss?
Maybe I'm thinking about Eddie Haskell's dad.
I don't know if his dad was around.
Mm.
I don't know if
maybe that's why he was such a Weisenheimer.
Some of the other signs. Chris Long gave his entire year's salary to educational initiatives. Colin Kaepernick gave $1 million to charity. He had another sign that said, Devin McCourty, Daron Harmon, Matt Slater, and Johnson Batamosi lobbied to raise the age from 7 to 12, entering the criminal justice system.
All right, so let's continue. These are the signs that he's putting up. They're fairly self-explanatory. He is showing you statistics that obviously concern him. He's praising players that have done something in the community.
We know you're big on social justice and social movement, but how are you going to take steps maybe in this offseason to continue to promote this?
Do you feel it was fair for the president to cancel the White House trip even though a large majority of players were not planning on attending? Malcolm, are you upset with the White House's decision to cancel the event?
Yeah, I'm sure he's furious. Oh. Stupid. Again, do you see what he's doing? He's showing you
not upset.
The things that he's upset about. Are you upset that the White House can't? Yes. I'm really upset about it. I had no intention of going, nor did everyone on the team besides Foles. But it's really got me going.
Malcolm, the message being lost.
Why have you chosen this course of action to respond to questions?
Because of that very question. Oh, idiots.
Is there any one of these particular stats that stands out to you that you would like to hold up again as something that we are not listening to further?
That's not bad. In order to try and get something or, you know, create some kind of a dialogue.
Signs.
Right.
She's accepted the signs.
Why are you holding up these signs? You mad you didn't get to go to the White House?
Are you upset with the White House and the president for canceling the trip?
Oh, that's the second time he's asked that.
Oh, that wasn't a replay?
No, that's the second time that idiot asked it.
Did it again. All right.
Yeah, that moron, he can't.
Okay.
You mad you didn't get to meet Donald Trump?
Malcolm, who isn't listening?
You! Obviously. You can't sit there for 5 seconds while I pull these signs out?
All of us?
Well, what about me? I think I listen.
Have you the first tour?
All right, guys.
Yeah, there you go. That was how Philadelphia media could not understand at all what was going on.
Right.
Even though it's better for them that he did it. Even on the radio, it's better for him that he did it.
Yes. It's uncomfortable. He wanted to make him uncomfortable. Mm. Well, that was the point.
That was the whole point. All right. The Bankroll Boys are here. This is really the last stretch that we got gambling. So this might be the last time we talk to these Bankroll Boys until the fall. So let's get them in here and get them talking about everything that they are irresponsibly gambling on. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's heavy betting with Jackpot Joe Murray and Done Deal Dan Lipschitz.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and it's getting down to the dog days of summer with sports here. So it figured to be a good time to bring in the Bankroll Boys, Dan Lipschitz, Joe Murray. These are two gentlemen that some would call degenerate gamblers, but some would say they've made their bankroll the correct way. They have two different styles. Dan Lifshitz, more of a numbers guy, does a lot of research. Joe Murray goes by the hip. Joe Murray also, when he can't sleep, will bet like Italian horse racing. And Lifshitz, you stay basically the sports you know.
No, I like to do, you know, a little late night when I can't sleep, get on the South Korean soccer action.
Okay, South Korean soccer. Now, do you know anything about South Korean soccer?
Not a thing. I just run the numbers.
All right, so you run the set. How long does it take you for a sport that you... Do you know anything about soccer, really?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big soccer guy.
Okay, so when you run through the numbers, but you're not that familiar with South Korean soccer, I would imagine.
No, I mean, I know a little bit of the teams because I've been doing it for a while, but yeah, I don't know.
How long have you been betting on South Korean soccer?
A couple years, John. A couple years.
All right, World Cup's coming up. This must be a bonus time for you.
Yeah, okay, this is my time. Oh, man. Time to shine.
This is right. This is your time to... Well, I was talking to Dan, and he used to produce for Eddie Andelman, and apparently Eddie Andelman had this bet on Cameroon in one World Cup, and the odds were so long that when it got to the quarters?
When it got to either the quarters or the semis, he was getting phone calls saying, we would like to discuss perhaps cashing in that ticket that you currently hold.
Now, has that happened to you guys?
It's never happened with a ticket, but I worked for Eddie years ago, too, and that does happen. Like, that guy used to bet on everything.
Really?
Legitimately everything.
And then, it happens. So if you go to Vegas, I was totally ignorant to this, because I've never made, a massive prop bet. So, but if I make a pretty big prop bet on long odds, the casino will call you, and they will try to negotiate.
Well, did you say that happened to you before, Hardy?
No, never happened to me. But there's this, urban legend going around of a guy who bet $100 on the Patriots at 500-1 to go undefeated in the 07 season. And I don't know how Caesars would have had his phone number or contact info unless he was a heavy guy, and they knew who he was to begin with, but they called him the week before the Super Bowl and offered to buy his ticket back from him for $25,000. And he said, screw you, the Pats are going to win it all.
Right. Oh, that'd be a fun night for him. Yeah. So, all right, so how are you guys doing on the NBA Finals right now?
I'm not doing too hot because I thought the Cavs at least win one game, but in general, I mean, I've just been playing, I think, the over in every single game. I think they've gone, the Cavs and Warriors got over the past eight times in a row at this point. So, I mean, it's just been straight over bets for me. And I had the Cavs first half last night, which was nice.
Yeah, I had Golden State last night three different ways. I had them money line. It was -155 money line. So you'll pay the extra juice. I went from 4.5 to 3.5, had that. And then they were down 7 at halftime, took the -5 halftime, basically doubled down the bet and hit all three.
All right, so it's been a good series for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so have you missed anything with this series?
Just the over. I think the over has been pretty interesting, considering Cleveland really can't score. And then Steph Curry last night had a pretty slow start, brutal. Had a big three later. So I think Durant MVP, that was probably one of the things heading into the series. Who the MVP of the series was, there's no question. Now it's Kevin Durant.
All right, did you guys wager on who would be the MVP in the series?
I have a future on Durant and Curry.
So yeah, I placed a small bet on LeBron James in case he played outstanding and somehow they'd give him the MVP, but Golden State would win.
Okay, now are you at all interested in hockey and what's going on there? Do you gamble on that?
Yeah, I have. The overs have been really good. So there's been four games; it's gone over 3 out of 4 games. Yeah.
All right, so you're doing that as well?
Yeah, I'm a bigger hockey guy than I've been bigger on the hockey series and the NBA series. I thought it was easier to kind of determine who was going to win. I've been all over the Capitals after they lost game one. I was hammering them. So.
Okay. Hell yeah.
It's the Bankroll Boys with Joey Bag of Money and Fist of Cash Lifshitz.
Can we back up 1 second?
Yes.
Okay. I want to back up to the March Madness tournament. I saw you when you were leaving that day to go to Las Vegas.
Yep.
You're talking to Lifshitz here.
I'm talking to Dan. Dan was heading out. He was catching an Uber from the radio station. I'm like, oh, you're going to Vegas and you're going out there, which is a great time. That whole first 4 days is just
an absolute blast.
Have you discussed on the air where you were staying?
No.
Okay. He went out. He called it a business trip. All right. Yeah. You're going to Las Vegas. I'll give you 100,000 guesses as to where he stayed, and you won't get it right.
Hooters.
Okay, well, you already heard.
No, I swear to God.
I swear
you
to God.
You pulled that out of nowhere?
Yeah. Because
it's Hayward DeGenerate Harris.
Wow.
Oh, I should have put money on it.
And Dan Big Shat's Mustache.
Because my wife and I, every time I've been to Vegas, I'll ultimately end up at the Hooters Casino because I'll just go. Like,
what?
I want Hooters.
Why? Okay, so Dan, you went there and stayed there. That's a whole other conversation.
By the way, they have single deck blackjack
in Hooters. You go in there once, you will not want to go back.
I didn't think it was that bad. No, I didn't stay in a room. Were the rooms bad?
I didn't stay in the room. I just put my stuff there.
Okay,
so you were up for 4 days?
No, I was only there for 3 days, and I flew back, and then I literally was up the whole time, and I took a nap in my buddy's room, like, twice.
Were you just smoking meth?
No.
Okay.
But if you're out there on a business trip, and you did well the year before, why wouldn't you treat yourself to, I don't know, the Tropicana?
So
really... I go for broke and hit up the Excalibur.
That's where, business trip.
That's where Bertrand went. It stayed at the Excalibur.
I remember that.
Just how is that place still in existence?
A wizard shows up every hour.
I don't know how anybody goes to Vegas more than once would go back and purposely put themselves up at the Hooters Hotel and Casino.
It's centrally located.
No, it's not.
It's on the end of the strip.
It's over on Tropicana. It's not even on the strip.
It's right off the strip. And I was just putting my stuff there. Why would I spend money to actually go someplace I'm not going to sleep? Come on, Hardy. You know better than that.
I guessed Hoosier's Casino, and you said you'd give me 1,000 guesses.
Okay. How about this? If you are
100,000,
if you've got that much action going, don't you get comped? Don't you get your room comped?
All you got to do is eat a bucket.
Yeah, but then you have to play like all sorts of blackjack and stuff. And I'm not trying to drop like $5,000 on blackjack and like, you know, every single night. I just want to go and kind of get my little sports action on. Have a good time. Hang out with the boys, you know, whatever.
It's Heavy Betting with Jackpot Joe Murray and Done Deal Dan Lifshatz.
I mean, so Lifshatz, you're out there. It's the NCAA tournament. You're intoxicated by the action. How much do you think that you put? How much do you think you wagered?
A large amount, and came home very positive. I told you before,
You did last year,
five figures. Right.
But then I told you before he was going to win. Remember, I told you. What did I give you?
I don't know.
All right, Hardy.
I don't.
He said Villanova.
Yep.
Did you have the winner?
Yep,
he did.
It's the Bankroll Boys. Wow. With Joey Bagamoney and Fist of Cash Lifshatz.
By the way, how hard was that square play? I had Michigan going all the way, and they ended up losing in the
final.
He just
called you a square.
I know he did. That's okay. You bet on Golden State last night, Mr. Square.
That is the square thing.
It's five figures out there.
I did well out there.
Okay, not that you won, but that you wagered, and then on top of that, you won. Don't worry, I've lost six figures within the last 3 days. So, not gambling. or buying anything. So believe me, I wish I would have gambled it. At least I would have had a moment of fun. But you stayed at the Hooters Casino and you dropped about $20,000.
Again, defiant stay, but yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, do you like the U.S. Open?
The U.S. I know Hardy's. We're doing tennis and golf. Here.
For golf,
do you know tennis?
Actually,
betting on the French Open.
No, you know, the reason why is the odds are so high. Like I looked at it.
That's
today.
The reason. Okay,
I actually looked at it this morning, just to take a look at it. I saw that. The guy team is like -820. So you can put $820 to win $100. I'm not doing that.
Oh, all right. So you didn't bet on the French Open?
No, but I dabble. I like to look. I like tennis. It's a fun. Fun sport to bet on.
You got live bet tennis because otherwise the odds are astronomical.
What's live bet mean?
Like you can during the match you can bet. So say like you know if Nadal and Federer are playing and Federer drops the first set you can live bet Federer. At
better live
odds.
Bet. Okay, I thought you said live bet. All right, and
I think betting golf right now is such a fool's errand. There have been 11 different winners in the last 11 majors. You can't tell me with any degree of certainty. Like, does anybody in the room right now know who the defending U.S. Open champion is?
I do not.
Brooks Koepka.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. So who is the favorite going in? How do you reasonably expect to make any money betting the U.S. Open or any other major over the last 2 years?
You can bet head to heads. I know some people do that. I don't bet golf. So
head to heads would be interesting.
Yes, head to heads go well, but I don't bet golf. I've I don't know anything about it.
How about Belmont this weekend?
It's Justify or nothing, if you ask me. So Justify is going to run out of the number one post. The number one post has won that race 23 times. So I think it's Justify or nothing in that race.
I'm taking the field.
Maybe you should. I mean, it's a longer race here. We'll see what happens. But if you ask me, like, Justify is one in every condition. Rain, the sunshine. So I wouldn't go against that horse, personally.
All right. So what is the odds for the field?
It's minus 120, and Justify is, I think, even. So it's, you know, whatever you want. I'm going field just because this horse isn't like an all-time horse. Not great. There's going to be some better horses in this race than there were, you know, in the last one. It seems pretty evident. I'm a field guy, so, yeah. You know.
And if I can bring up just a couple of things here, yes. Some things to consider. Yesterday, Delaware had its first day of actual betting. $323 million were bet yesterday. Think about sports betting. Like, we were just talking about the casino or whatever. Sports betting, the money is out of control. $323 million bet in Delaware. They profited $16,000 in the end. So out of $323 million spent, they profited $60 million.
Good day for the Spurs.
So the first day in Delaware. And then just one other thing. They have the LeBron James 2018-19 regular season odds. What team? The Lakers favorite at plus 200, where LeBron James will end up.
Where are the Celtics on there?
Celtics are plus 5,000.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah, so they're like fifth or sixth on the list.
Yeah, well, what a set you got in that, because I've heard the favorite is the Rockets.
So I've seen, that's another thing, the Rockets are another, 76ers have snuck in there, but that's something to bet on, like where LeBron will end up. I don't think it's Boston.
It's going to the Rockets or the Sixers. Have fun with that. Take it.
All right, that's the big bet. Has the podcast gotten up yet?
We're working on it.
All right.
We're working on it.
Legal issues.
It is tough to get a podcast off the ground these days.
It's going
to
be very difficult.
The hoops you got to jump through to press record and upload.
The Bankroll Boys.
It's tough. Good luck, guys.
Bankroll Boys, best of luck in your future wagers. And when things heat up again, we'd love to have you back. When we come back, Hardy has constructed a game for me. I continue to have to speak a great deal, and we will have that for you.